The automobile transformed the 20th century, and autonomous vehicles have the potential to reshape the 21st. The promise of connected cars and autonomous driving will be the focus of this special four-part series as part of the Hogan Lovells Straight Talks podcast. Hogan Lovells is a global law firm with 2,800 attorneys and over 45 offices around the world. In this episode, we'll speak with Hogan Lovells partners Tim Tobin from his office in Washington and Winston Maxwell from his office in Paris. The focus: the impact cybersecurity and privacy will have on the autonomous vehicle revolution. How does cybersecurity and privacy factor into the evolution and development of connected cars and autonomous vehicles? We'll start with Tim and then switch to Winston.
Cybersecurity and privacy are major considerations for the auto industry as it moves forward in the 21st century. Automakers have long been collecting personal information about drivers and consumers, but you know, it's really only been in the last 10 years or so, as technological developments have been rapidly increasing, such that you have much more connectivity relating to vehicles for a variety of reasons, for safety reasons, for diagnostics of vehicle performance, for communications and connectivity from a vehicle, and for infotainment issues and offerings. You now have an incredible array of technology in the vehicles that makes them much more like rolling smart devices, more so than just your traditional automobile. So with that increased data collection associated with the technology, it raises a host of considerations for privacy, because individuals want to be comfortable that their information is being used responsibly. And it raises issues for cybersecurity, in that vehicle data and consumer data and the functioning of the vehicle needs to be protected. So the auto industry has been focusing very heavily on both cybersecurity and privacy as we move ever more rapidly towards autonomous vehicles, which involve even more collection of data to make sure that they operate appropriately and efficiently.
So, Tim, I think that, you know, not only is a vehicle sort of like a smart device on wheels, but data is also transforming the way auto manufacturers operate internally. They have global platforms, of course, and they need to take all this data from the vehicle, put the data in safe places. Some are creating data lakes. Basically, that data needs to be handled in many cases on a global basis, which poses real challenges because, as we'll talk about later, privacy laws are regional or national, and it's very difficult to have the global view of an auto manufacturer also comply with the sometimes regional or national regulations that apply to data.
Who owns all of the data?
So I really believe that the issue of who owns the data is really the wrong question. I don't know that it's necessarily easily answered or that it needs to be. It's really an issue of using the data in responsible ways, consistent with appropriate policies and terms that you have with the customer. And it allows for, I think the key issue is that you want to be, as an automaker, respectful of users' privacy, cognizant of the issues and the concerns that they have, and that you use the data appropriately and consistently with your privacy notices and your terms of use. And I don't think there's a need to really define necessarily who specifically owns the information. It's really about commercial uses consistent with the context of the relationship that an automaker has with consumers.
I think it actually is a question that people are asking over here in Europe about who owns the data. The European Commission actually asked the question. They were referring to machine-generated data, not necessarily personal data. And there was a recent study commissioned by the European Commission that concluded along the lines of what Tim said, we probably don't need to create a special property right or an intellectual property right for data. because the market seems to function fairly well without that, in that the various stakeholders define various ways they can use data, give access to others, respect the end user's personal data rights, et cetera. And all that can be done through contract, through policies, without it really being necessary to create a new property right. That was really the issue that the commission in Europe asked, do we need to create a new property right to facilitate innovation, to facilitate investment, to facilitate the free flow of data? And the answer so far is no, we probably don't.
The EU's General Data Protection Regulation will take effect in May. How much time are you spending helping clients prepare?
Even from the U.S. side of the pond, we are spending an exponentially increasing amount of our time focused on GDPR issues, as our U.S.-based multinational clients are coming to us, really focusing in on what it is they have to do to become compliant in May 2018. And there are a number of things that companies need to be focused on if they are collecting information from EU residents. And this is not just in the auto industry. This is really across the board in all sectors. We see a lot of clients really focusing on this, especially given the significant regulatory penalties that can come from the GDPR once it's going to be in effect and enforceable. I will say that we are spending an incredible amount of time collaborating with our EU colleagues, including Winston and others on his team and others on our team in other countries, developing strategies for companies to become compliant.
I think that's a strong point of our firm, is we have a very active industry sector group that knows the automobile industry inside and out, and we have a very, very strong privacy and cybersecurity platform on both sides of the Atlantic. For me, the GDPR is probably occupying about 80-90% of my time. Just last week, I spent 2 half-days giving trainings to an auto manufacturer because they have to really communicate internally among the thousands of engineers and marketing people all these principles about how to be mindful of data.
Is there any other law or regulation you've seen that compares to the scope of GDPR?
Yeah, one comparison I make when speaking to companies sort of in bricks and mortar businesses, engineers, is the wave of environmental regulation that started in the 1980s when there was a general realization that the environment and toxic chemicals and pollutants had to be regulated. And from that sort of global awakening came waves of environmental regulation that we now take for granted and that are now internalized within organizations. Most people know that they can't, dump fuel into the sewer nowadays, and that's taken for granted. I think the GDPR is that sort of awakening now for most businesses in terms of how they handle data. They have to look at data as a form of substance that needs to be cared for, disposed of carefully, with appropriate safeguards. And that'll take time, I think, to seep in to every nook and cranny of businesses. But it's certainly the kind of revolution that we saw in the 70s and 80s with environmental regulation.
Music for this podcast was created by Scott Holmes. For more information about autonomous vehicles or Hogan Levels, please visit HoganLevels.com.